All right, good morning. Let's get started. So we started Siman Sadivav last time. So we started the discussion of Davar Charif. I would imagine between today and tomorrow, we should probably finish Siman Sadivav, and then we'll move on to Kuf Yud. I guess that's the plan from there. I still have no idea exactly how we're going to attack Kuf Yud. When do we have Shir until? Anyone know when we'll go all the way? The week before Pesach will be the week of Chazar, but the week before Pesach is officially we have yeshiva.
Yeah.
That week. So we're the only yeshiva in the world always, right? The biggest masnidim. Okay, good. So that will be the plan, Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. So that will give us, I don't know, can I do the math, how many days to do Siman Kuf Yud so I can figure out how to plan it out? Oh, next Sunday, the chances of me being able to give Shir next Sunday are extremely slim, just based on everything that's going on. So, we'll have to disqualify next Sunday. All right, maybe do the math for me if you could find out how many days it is. Thank you. Okay, so we started to discuss Davar Charif, and we pointed out that there are really three different conversations that have to happen, and we had one of them, right? I think that was how we left it off, that you have to talk about whether a Davar Charif has the power to remove the absorbed flavor in an Eino Ben Yomo knife, or only in a Ben Yomo knife. So we discussed that already. Then now we're going to talk about when we assume that the tam is absorbed by the radish or the onion, by the Davar Charif, how far into the radish or the onion does the tam travel? And then we'll also have to talk about how much of the flavor from the knife is pulled into the radish and the onion. Is it only the area of the knife that comes in direct contact with the radish or the onion, or the full knife? And then we'll talk about a number of practical issues that arise when it comes to Davar Charif. As we've pointed out, I think last time, this is one of the most relevant simanim in Yoredeya, meaning this comes up. Many of the shilas that Rabbanim get relate to Davar Charif, relate to the issues of onions and radishes. Well, not so much radishes, it's always onions, but onions and the like, and cutting with a knife. I cut the onion with a fleshig knife, and then I made potato latkes with those onions. So is my food processor, what's the status of the blades in my food processor? Are they now fleshig? And can I have those potato latkes with sour cream, I don't know, or whatever, with something milachig, you know, all of these kinds of shilas. So let's discuss. How far into the onion does the tam go? You kind of have duchka, again, over here it's not just about Davar Charif, it's the combination of Davar Charif and duchka de sakina. As a klal, duchka de sakina is only when you're dealing with something that's a davar kosha, that's hard. Otherwise, there's not really duchak of a sakin. If it's something that's very soft, so you don't have that element of duchka de sakina. Davar Charif maybe, but not duchka de sakina. So how far into the onion does the flavor travel? You take a dry, hard onion, raw, hard onion, and you cut it with a fleshig knife. So the Beis Yosef quotes a machlokas about how far the fleshig flavor goes from the knife into the radish slash onion. And again, for the Shulchan Aruch, specifically Ben Yomo knife, for the Rama, even an Eino Ben Yomo knife. So the Ravid and the Smag hold that it goes in Kedei Netila. The Kedei Netila, which is what we assume is Ka'ovi Etzba, the width of the of a finger. How big is the width of a finger? Ka'ovi Etzba. So the Primagadim in Simenayin Vav, Sivkat Nalev, says that you need to remove the width of your thumb, which is between 2 and 2.4 centimeters from the onion. So if you do that on both sides, meaning if you just made one slice down the middle, and then you take out a kedei netila from each side of the onion, you're left with very little onion, right? Meaning you're obviously not going to be left with that much that you're able to use. Most of the time, even if you're going to be somich on the tzad that kedei netila is enough, which we'll see soon what the Shulchan Aruch has to say about it, but even if you're going to be somich on that, most of the time it means that you don't really have much of an onion left. Now with other vegetables, if you cut like a long radish, so then maybe it does help to only remove Kedei Netila. Now the Rush in Simen Lamed Aleph says that no, you only need Kedei Klipa. And that's, it's unlike the Chiltis, which we say in Avodah Zarah, ashers the whole thing, because the chiltus gets cut into tiny pieces, and we don't know which spots were really cut by the knife and contain the kadei klipa. So that's why we asher the whole thing. But really, the most the davar charif is able to asher is kadei klipa. That's the shita of the rush. If you knew exactly where the makom ha-chetach is, exactly where the slicing was done, where the knife had hit it, then the rachnami would only forbid a kadei klipa. The ravid rejects that, and the Ravid says that it should have said that if you peel off the space in the radish, it would be mutala achlo and kutach, just like the bar gozla shenafa lekata dekamcha, where we said the same thing, where we said that if it's roasted, the Gemara says you need klipa, and it doesn't just say usser. To just say usser, that doesn't sound like something that only requires a kutay klipa. When you say usser, you're telling me that there's no way that it's going to be mutter. So you're going to make a hechtimsa, you're going to make an ukimta. Oh, it's saying usser, but only in the case where you started chopping it really fine and you cut it so many times with the knife that you can't find the spot. That's very, very hard to accept. So what do we have so far? We have the Ravid and the Smag, Kedei Netila, the Rush, Kedei Klipa. Comes along the Rashba and the Ran, and they say, no, Rasr is Kula. That's what the Gemara says, that the Chiltis is Asr. So Rasr is not just Kedei Netila, it Asr is the entire mass of the onion. That's the Ravid. The Gemara Nefel Dezar Lam and Hayim Beis, Korat Shel Chiltis Shel Goyim is Asr, and the Gemara Lamentas explains that the non-Jew cuts the chiltus with a knife that's balua with iser, the chiltus is a davar charif, which is boleya, and it just says aser. So the fact that the whole thing is aser doesn't say take kedei netila, certainly doesn't say take kedei klipa, so that implies that the tam travels bikula. So if the tam travels bikula, the whole thing's going to be aser. So it comes along Shulchan Aruch, right here, in Si'if Aleph, in Simen Sadivav, Tzanon, O Silka, Shechadchon, Besachim, Tzalbasar, Ben Yoma, O She'enim, Kunuch, Aser, Lachon, Becholov, Ad sheitel makom achetach kedei netilas makom shehu ka'ov v'etzba. That you only need a kedei netila, says the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says, like the Ravid and the Smag, kedei netila becomes fleishig. If you want to cook that onion with milk, all you need to do is take off kedei netila, or the Shulchan Aruch says you have another option. Right? What does Shulchan Aruch say? Shukov v'etzba. Oh. The other option is taste the onion, put the onion in your mouth. It's you know, eating raw onions is not it's delicious, but it's not terrible. You can manage. So taste the onion, put it in your mouth, see if you're able to taste the tam of the basar. If you're not able to taste the tam of the basar, then it's perfectly fine also, even without the kedei netila, because it's the tam that's the problem, says the Shulchan Aruch. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that you need to remove a kedei netila or taste it. If it doesn't taste like meat, so then all you need to do is rinse it off to remove any possible residue that might be on it, and then you can cook it with milk, right? That's what the Mechaber says. Not that you could just use it, you need to be madiach. All you need to do is rinse it off. However, the shach and sivkatan hey. Right, let's see. The Shach Sivkatan Hey says the Shach Oshei Tamenu. Actually, we'll come back to that Shach a little bit later. But the Shach says that you can't rely on a taste test l'chadchila. Only if you did taste it and there was no meat flavor, and then you accidentally cooked the onion and milk, then the onion and milk would be permitted b'di'evit. Meaning, over here, l'chadchila and b'di'evit is a little tricky. Right, when we're talking about a time of not kosher, right? So to say you're not allowed to taste the lechadchila, and b'diavad you could rely on the taste, that would mean you're not allowed to put it in your mouth. You can't take an onion that might have time of non-kosher and put it in your mouth. B'diavad, somehow it happened that someone tasted it. However, that might have happened. Maybe you had the sfardi have the guy taste it, and whatever hechitimsi came up with that you had someone taste it. So now, b'diavad, you're allowed to use it and you're allowed to cook with it. But over here, you're not going to be able to say that. You're going to tell me I cut an onion with a fleshy knife, I'm not allowed to taste it. Of course I'm allowed to taste it. I'm just not allowed to mix it with milk, because there's nothing wrong with a fleshy onion. It's not usher to have a fleshy onion. So you have to define l'chadchila and b'diavad a little bit differently. That l'chadchila, of course you're allowed to taste it, but you're not allowed to rely on that taste to then mix it with milchik, which is quite a chiddush. Why not? Meaning that would be You know, for a person, that would be the equivalent of what we normally call b'di'evet. It's been tasted already, but you're not allowed to rely on it, right? Let's see the shach, sifkat and hey. What does the shach say over here? Says the shach, sifkat and hey, shei temenu, hadatima mahani, mivur b'shas, v'bashri, v'tor v'rashba, miyo achachti b'sifri min ha-shas, d'l'chadchila asalach l'b'kutach al-yidei ti'ima. He says, I tried to prove, based on the Gemara, that you're not allowed to eat it lechachila with kutach based on ti'ima alone. Because safti shem shkein mashma dasarama masma bismak umordechai v'shar mechabim shloskiru atere de ti'ima. The poskim don't mention ti'ima. V'chein poskim marshal b'sifro perakol basar sim samachalav harav taruz chatos reish klal samachalav. D'lo k'demashma midivrei arash tur v'arashba v'amachaber da'afilu lechachila muter. Not like the mechaber tries to tell you over here that even lechachila you can taste it. Miu vadai itamu the less petam. Ooh bishlo. If you tasted it and you know there's no time and then you cooked it b'di'eved b'chalav muter. Given the bevadai in tam b'kedir zu because you know that there's no time. Kedisa b'edim b'shasu poskim v'hu pashut. Yeah, and then he says behindu d'lo higiyar rav kan kluma mashkasa mechaber oyitamenu kedigiyav reishim sadivev sadichas. Why is it that each time the mechaber says throughout? Every time we had such a thing of ti'imas kfeila, each time the mechaber says, "Okay, just have some taste it. Have some taste it." The Rama jumps up and down and says, "Oh, we don't do that. We don't rely on taste." And over here, the Rama silent, not a word about not relying on taste. Mishum demikol makom l'nidiyavin mahani ti'ima, because we kind of do rely on taste over here. That v'diyavin, if you know that it didn't taste like basra, so then it's going to be mutter. The davka atimas obikochavim lo nehiginon lismocha filu diaved. When we say we don't rely on taste, that's all about the taste of an akum, Hashem ken atimas Yisrael, as opposed to a Jew who's going to taste it. Of course you could rely. Not of course, meaning there are two possible reasons why you wouldn't rely on ti'ima b'zman hazeh. Either that you don't trust the akum, it's a lack of trust, or that you don't trust the expertise, that you don't think that people have the expertise. So he's saying that by an akum, it's a lack of trust. By Yisrael, there's no lack of trust. Says the shach. Wait a second. The Rama doesn't say anything over here, and I'm telling you that according to the Rama, only b'di'evit you're allowed to rely on ti'ima. If you tasted the onion, there's no fleshik tam, and then you put it into your milchig onion soup with the cheese and the onion soup, right? So then b'di'evid you're allowed to rely on it. Well, why doesn't the Rama at least say that? At least tell me l'chadchila I'm not allowed to put it into my onion soup with the cheese. Because it already says that it's asr to have with chalav, so asr to have with chalav means al chachila you're not allowed to have it. Udulo kulavush shehishmet the gamri al the tima mahani mashmet the sfilah definitely the avilu something of tima yisrael. Unlike the lavush who says that you cannot rely on tima yisrael even in a b'di'eved situation that the yisrael was towing the onion, told you that it didn't taste like any meat in the onion, and then the onion was mixed with a milchig onion soup, the Levush would say, even b'di'evit, it's going to be problematic. So bottom line is, the Mechaber Paskins, Rivet Smag Kedei Netila. As far as what happens if you about Ti'ima, so that's this side discussion in the Shach over here, Machlokes Shach and the Levush, whether we, even Ashkenazim, can rely on Ti'ima b'di'evit, that someone didn't taste it. But that's as far as the Mechaber Kedei Netila. Comes along the Rama, and the Rama passes like the Rashba and the Ran, but only the Chachila. Right, says the Rama. The Yeshomrin, Shim Chatach Tznon, Besakin Shal Isser, Kulo Aser! The whole thing's going to be Aser. Bechayim Chatach Besakin Shal Basar, Aser Kulo Bechalat. And if you cut it with a flaming knife, the whole onion is Aser Tav with Chalav. V'chein no'adin l'chadchila. Aval b'di'avid ein lasa rakadei netila. That's only a din l'chadchila, but b'di'avid, really, the mechab is right. Meaning, really, we pass like the smag and the ravid, that it only asks kadei netila, but as a l'chadchila, we should try to be machmir for the ran and the rashba, that it asks kula, that it asks the entire thing. Which would mean that if it's a shas at chak, then you can rely on kedei netila, meaning that that's the ikra din. It's just lechachila, but b'diavad, and we know anytime you have shas at chak k'diavad dami. So your wife cuts an onion with a milchig knife, and if she needs it for the cholent, and there's a lot of company coming tomorrow, and it's right before Shabbos, and she's relying on kedei rechaisa to just put up the cholent now, or whatever, spend all the Shabbos now, or it's being put up on a blech or something like that. So right before Shabbos, and there's no onions. This is the last onion, and she needs it. It's not going to work otherwise. The whole cholent's not going to work otherwise. So as long as you remove a kedei netila from the from each side that she cut with the milchig knife, you can use the rest of the onion, which probably won't help much, but the whatever little bit is left, you could use and you could put into the challenge, because that would l'chara be shas al chak and kediyavet. Again, more relevant with a long radish where there will be something left after you remove the kedei netila. Now, if you did cook the onion in milk, and you didn't have a ti'ima to know that it doesn't have flesh of gatam. For all you know, it does have flesh of gatam, and you cook it in milk, so which is the more common thing. Most of the time, people don't taste it in advance. They already cut it, and they put it in the milk dish. So now you're going to need shishim times what, right? So so says the Shulchan Aruch, tzorich shishim, Kenegan Mashin Naga may a sakin behem, what in the Chacham Bishak Shalakhavim, okay? That you need, well, we'll get to that in a second, but you're going to need, if you did cook in the milk, so then you're going to need Shishim times the Kedei Netila, because we assume that Kedei Netila of the onion has become fleshig. You don't need Shishim times the entirety of the onion, right? That's what Shach Sivkatan Yod, V'chein Ogin Lechadchila, Pirush. Bein besakin shel basa, bein besakin shel chavim, v'noag lechil lesser kula v'achinashu v'tazchatz al b'diavish and special bein besakin shel basa, bein besakin shel akum, shel akum ein tzarach l'shar rak kedei netila. You only need to measure shishim kedei netila, meaning even though the Ramah is machmir that you have to consider the entire onion to be fleishig, so none of that onion can be mixed with milk. If you wanted to take this onion, you wanted to melt cheese onion in front of the oven, I don't know if people do that, if that's a thing, but you wanted to somehow mix this onion with milk, none of it can be mixed with milk. But if you put it into your milchig onion soup with the cheese, all you need to be mishar is shishim connected to kedei netila, because that's already considered a b'diavad, and b'diavad we paskin like the mechaber that it only asks kedei netila. Right, you don't need to be mishar shishim keneged the entirety of the onion. So says the Shach in Sif Katan Yud. Now there is a prima gadim in Or Chaim in Tafsadi Dalit, I think in Hilchos Shavuos. So he talks about if you're let's say you're fleishig, meaning you had a fleishig lunch. Can you eat an onion that was cut with a milchig knife? Meaning how milchig is that? Is that onion? Do we assume that you have to wait 6 hours before eating the onion? So the Prima Gadim says yes, that you have to wait 6 hours before eating the onion, that it's mamish, it mamish becomes milchig. And if you assume like pickles are also davar charit, so if you cut a pickle with a milchig knife and you have a fleishig lunch, you would not be allowed to eat that pickle within 6 hours of eating the onion. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I was unable to locate it before shir, a little bit rushed this morning, and in general, but Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he seems to limit this in that direction. Meaning, more commonly, you cut an onion or a pickle, let's say, with a fleishig knife, so it doesn't make you fleishigs. Meaning it's not really meat to the extent that you're now going to have to wait 6 hours before you eat milchig. So I don't remember what the svara is to be mechalik, right? That if you cut an onion with a milchig knife, it's milchig enough that you can't eat it when you are fleshig. But if you cut an onion with a fleshig knife, it doesn't make you fleshig. Maybe it's a svara of basar ben ashinayim, that there is no actual basar, that or the tam of basar is not going to be strong enough to create the sense of being fleshig when it only comes through the tam of the davar charif of the pickle, let's say. Whereas if you actually had tam of basar, so now in your mouth with real basar, so now for 6 hours you're not allowed to ingest anything that has such a tam of chalav. I'm pretty sure Moshe writes that way in a tshuva somewhere. So
Okay,
so that's as far as how far it goes into the onion. Machlokas Rishonim, Kedei Klipa, Kedei Netila, or Kula. We paskin Meikra Din Kedei Netila. Svardim stick with that 100%. Ashkenazim Machmir Lechatchila Kula. But how we define Lechatchila is that you're just not allowed to mix it with the milchigs. But if it did get mixed with the milchigs when you're determining the ratio, so that's what the Shach says. You're determined based on Kedei Netila, based on that shita of Kedei Netila. Okay, so now you cut an onion with flesh knife. So according to the Mechaber, you need to cut a Kedei Netila, and then you can use the rest of the onion with milchig. According to the Ramah, you can't use any part of the onion with milchig. However, both according to the Mechaber and the Ramah, if you put the onion in the dairy soup, shishim keneged only the kedei netila. So what we're going to discuss now is that always true? You always need shishim kedei netila of the onion? So it's not always true. Meaning, when we say you need shishim kedei times the kedei netila, it means the most you're ever going to need is shishim keneged the kedei netila. But it's a maximum, but not a minimum. Meaning sometimes you don't need shishim keneged the kedei netila. It depends how much the onion was able to absorb from the knife. Meaning the onion wasn't the problem. The knife was the problem. The knife wasn't the problem. The meat was the problem. Right? So meaning you're going to have to trace back where the problem came from, and then you're going to be able to see how much time actually made it into the to the onion. So as a basic introduction, the onion can't absorb more than a kedei netila, meaning that's as far as it travels as a kedei netila. So even if an onion theoretically has the strength to remove every last bit of flavor from the entirety of the knife, that as soon as the tip of the blade penetrates that onion just sucks out all the flavor from the knife, yeah, but it sucks it out and only deposits that flavor into a kedei netila of the onion. That's as far as it will go. So think of the knife as, let's say, 5 ounces of water, and the kedei netila of the onion is 2 ounces of water. See, even if the onion can remove all 5 ounces from the knife, it can only absorb 2 ounces because it's not going to travel beyond that. So you're only going to need shishim times the 2 ounces, which will be the same as shishim times the kedei netila. That's how that's just pashtus, right? That if you have a small radish, that its kedei netila is not going to be a very large volume, then it doesn't matter the volume of meat that was in the knife. It can't become usher more than the volume of kedei netila of the onion. But you have a big onion and a small knife, or a small onion that was cut with a small part of the knife and not the entire blade. So now we could discuss how much of the absorbed meat flavor in the knife does the onion really remove? Meaning, keeping to that original example with the 2 ounces and the 5 ounces, if let's say the onion is equivalent to 10 ounces, because now we're dealing with a bigger onion, and its kedei netila is 5 ounces, right? When you measure the ovi etzba on either side, it's, let's say, 5 ounces. But the knife only has 2 ounces of tam in it, so now you're only going to need shishim keneged whatever the onion is able to absorb from that knife. So maximum 2 ounces, right? And maybe the onion is not able to draw everything out of the knife. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph paskins, that the onion only absorbs from the section of the knife that it actually came in contact with. So if the knife came in contact with part of the blade, which has only, let's say again, there are 2 ounces in the knife, but the onion came in contact with only half of the blade, so there's only 1 ounce of meat flavor that it could possibly draw out of the blade. And then you take that onion, put it in a dairy soup, you only need 60 times the 1 ounce, and not 60 times the kedei klipa. So the kedei netila, rather. The kedei netila is a maximum, right? That's what, if you look in the Mechaber, so the Mechaber writes, the imlo natal mehem kedei netilas makom, v'gam lo tamam, u'bishlam b'chalav, you didn't do anything, and now you cooked it with chalav, so tzarich shishim keneged mashenaga hasakin bahem. So it's only keneged mashenaga hasakin bahem. Whatever part of the knife that came in contact with that davar charif, now I need shishim keneged that part of the knife that came in contact with the Davar Charif. And then the Ramah says, Ramah adds, Bim Chatchan Dak Dak, you dice an onion, right? You cut it Dak Dak, Sarach L'Shar Shishim Neged Chalatznon, or radish. Then you need Shishim Keneged, the entire thing becomes like, you need Shishim Keneged the entire onion if it was cooked with milk. Why? Because each time you dice the onion, meat flavor enters the onion up until a kedei netila. So every small piece of the onion is within the kedei netila. So Badei Shulchan just explains, based on the Shach, he writes, "B'shach pirus acheres b'dvar v'hu daramah chozer kan al sakin basar shechatach botznon v'kamar shemchatchu dak dak tzarch shishim b'cholav shenusbashel bo acher kach neged kolatznon." You can't say Chanan, that the onion became Chanan, because the whole thing is Heter. Hachamari b'sakin shu gadol me'atznon. Meaning this Chumrah the Ramah, that when you dice it, you have to assume the whole thing is Aser. That means that the knife is larger than the tznon. So there's more tam in the knife than the entire volume of the radish. So now I'm going to say you need Kenega the whole radish. Or if you lost the knife, so you don't know how big it was. Aval kisha sakin the fanenu. But if the knife is right here and you're looking at it, vukatan me'atznon, and it's much smaller than the radish. Ramah doesn't disagree with that. Certainly, you're not going to. It's not going to. The shishim that you need is not going to be bigger than where it came from. So if it came from a knife, then you only need shishim, the blade of the knife. So that that din of the Ramah, that if you dice it, that the whole thing is aser, is only if the knife is bigger than the onion. Because every time you cut the onion, there's still meat flavor left in the knife, which will be absorbed by the onion when you chop further. But if the knife is smaller than the onion, so then you need shishim kenega the knife, not shishim kenega the onion. The onion is only going to absorb whatever the knife has. Whatever the knife doesn't have, it can't give. What if an onion was diced by a small knife, and then you put half the onion in one pot, half the onion in the other pot? Yeah, so the onion is much bigger than the knife. So we say you only need shishim kenega the knife. So you cut the onion with a knife, and you put half the onion, you cut it into two pieces, you're making two chalons, a lot of company, whatever you make. So you put half the onion in one pot of chalons, half the onion in the other pot of chalons. What would you tie in there? In such a case, what do you need in each pot? What? Which would mean shloshim, right? Meaning you wouldn't really need shishim then. Right? You're enticed to say whatever the blios were, half of the blios went into this half of the onion. Meaning, let's say the knife, let's use numbers because numbers are easier. Let's say the knife has 2 ounces of volume, I don't know, right? In the blade. So you're enticed to say 1 ounce of volume went into that half of the onion, 1 ounce of volume went into that half of the onion. So now I only need shishim kneged the one. I don't need 120 ounces, I need 60 ounces, right? In each pot to be mevatelit. But the assumption is that we don't know exactly where things travel and how they travel. I mean, we do not assume even distribution. We know that maximum it could go kedei netila, but we can't make the assumption that there's always going to be even distribution. So I think most of the poskim assume that you're going to need shishim keneged the full 2 ounces in each of the pots. Because it could be that all 2 ounces of the blade went into, meaning that's part of the Ramah's Chumrah. That when you chotech dak dak, so why don't you assume all the, when I was chotech, all the time went. So the first chaticha, so then when I was further chotech, there's no time left. No, you have to be choshesh that all the time went with the first chaticha, but you can't assume that all the time went with the first chaticha. So you see from the Ramah's discussion of chotech dak dak, where there's an assumption that every part of it has a kedei netila, that everything that ever came in contact with the blade is absorbing time from the knife. Why am I assuming that keeps happening? I assume it keeps happening because I can't assume otherwise. I can't assume that I know otherwise. So pashtus is that in that case, if you take half the onion, put it in one pot, half the onion, put it in the other pot, you need shishim kenega the entire blade in each pot. Most of the time, when I get a shaila about a davar charif, it's very helpful to remember this halacha that you only need shishim kenega the knife. Because most of the time, shishim connected the onion. Most of the time, people don't just chop an onion in half and just put it in the pot. They're usually cutting it a lot, right? And if you're going to ask for the entire onion, it's much harder to get shishim connected the entire onion than it is to get shishim connected the blade. So it's very helpful to remember that the shishim that you need is only shishim connected the blade, not shishim connected the entire onion. Good? Oh, question? Doesn't the Shach in Siman 98.8 hold that there is a suffix if there is tab, one can give it to a guy to taste it? If there's a suffix if there is tab. This is from way back, right? You're asking from earlier this year. So, no, what did the Shach say? Let's see. Where is that shot? He said Sinclair and Chess. I don't see it.
He said
Chav Tess. Okay. Let's see. What's up the shot? I feel that the class of Israel had to recall what they didn't know. Oh, any other Margishim time of a low? Matab Chia Gavna, or the Gam Atala Chilo Chav and Messiah with Tituma. So, if you're going to say, what's the context of there? Comes out to the Shulchan Misha. Kol Yisrael Menogim is Vanan Zeh, Kulim is Vatam Bishishim, Vavachan is Bezak Vyay Nesek, Kishir is Vavachan is Seyim, Vavachan is Vyay Nosin Tam B'Kedera. Avon Nosin Tam B'Osa Kedera. V'Osa Mitzad Atzma, Afilu Be'elef Lo Batil, Kol Zvan Shemar Gishin Taimel. He's talking if you have shishim, right? So in such a case where you have shishim and then you're just being machmir, right? That's what the context of there is, that you have shishim and you're just being machmir on the tam because you're choshish with tam. So then if you don't know that there's tam and you know you have shishim, so then you can be meitu. So I don't think that's relevant over here. Gershon David. This seems to imply that we hold an even distribution by a davar charif. Is that the... Oh, never mind then. Okay. Nachi. Read the knife and the blade. Doesn't it say that when we dice the onion, it messes up each piece could take klipa? Did I address that already, Navi? We good?
Yes, you clarify it.
Yeah, meaning the, we have to assume that it messes up each piece. We can't, even though we don't know. I mean, that's the assumption. We don't make any assumptions, so we always assume l'chumra, because we can't make any assumptions l'kula. Right, that's why I was saying when you cut the onion in half, you need shishim connected the blade for each pot that you're putting half of the onion in.
Just about, when you speak about the knife being bigger or smaller than the onion, it means like the blade is...
Volume of the blade. So sometimes the blade will be thick, but usually they're pretty thin. So it's not hard to get shishim connected the blade. Right? So... If you take a gigantic knife and you start slicing a tiny little radish, you know, so I guess it could be. That's what I'm saying. You know, in almost every shayla, it's very helpful to remember you only need shishim connected the knife and not connected the onion, because most of the time, the onion, even a kedei netila of the onion is wet. A kedei netila is the thickness of your finger. You ever see the thickness of a blade of a knife, right? You know, if you have those smaller knives that have, you know, the Israeli ones with the super sharp blades, you know, those in Israel, like everything's just a little more dangerous, you know, like in America we go to ball games, in Israel we like climb up the side of a cliff, you know, like everything's just a little more dangerous. So those knives are like you know, they're very, very thin blades. So you almost always, you know, if you're making like a big soup and you chopped a bunch of onions, you're making a big onion soup. So pashtus is the whole thing. You'll for sure have shishim connected the blade. Good. At the end of Sif Aleph, the Ramah tells us that the sharpness of a radish or an onion only applies to the vegetable themselves, but not to their leaves. So if you cut the leaves with a fleshig knife, the onion still remains part. Also, if you're not sure which knife was used to cut the sharp vegetables, you can assume lakula. So you could buy radishes that have been cut close to the roots, even from Ovdik Chavim, because you could assume that they used gardening tools to remove the vegetables from the ground. You don't have to assume that they went into their kitchen and grabbed a tray for knife to cut the vegetables from the ground. This is an important, let's see this inside, this is an important thing. V'miyesh safek im nechtach besakit shal yisr, azin lakula, l'chein konim hatznonos sheyesh ben chatuchan l'tzad znavol seyen, ki talinan shenase b'mara v'chatzina. He says, if you're buying vegetables that have not been sliced, that have just been cut from the ground, do you have to be choshish that they were cut from the ground with a tray for knife? He says, no. Gardeners use gardening implements. If you're cutting from a stam, your neighbor, if you're buying from your neighbor, the guy, and you're buying sliced vegetables that are dvarim charifim from your non-Jewish neighbor, okay, so now you have what to be concerned about. If you're buying sliced dvarim charifim, so you should do take away kedei netila, right? The Ramah, why don't you have to take away kedei kulo? Why don't you have to throw the whole thing out? You don't know. He may have used a kosher knife anyway. You don't know that he used a treifa knife. It could be that he used a vegetable knife. So so you could certainly be make like the mechaber take a kedei netila. So this is no gaya. A lot of times you have questions like. Fruit stores that do not have a hashgacha. I know in the Five Towns, yes, we have in the same parking lot as Gourmet Glad, where everybody goes shopping. So there's a fruit store that has very high-end fruit, very delicious fruit. So they sell fruit platters, or like on Yontif, you know, people don't want to. It became a shtick that people realized that they can order if they want the freshest fruit on a 3-day yantiv. Like you have Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, yantiv. They want fresh fruit, so they don't want to buy it on Friday and eat it on Monday. It's pasnish. So what are they going to do? So they'll order from Woodmere Farms to deliver it on Monday, and they'll bring it to the house on Monday. So is it mutter to do that? To ask for a delivery on Monday? I mean, it's not right. But it's not us, sir. You know, like you don't need the guy to do any malacha for you. He's just cutting a fruit, and he could walk to your house if you live in Woodmere. It's not for his own convenience. He's going to drive to your house. He's not going to walk to you. Whatever he does, a daita dinafshe is not really your problem. What did someone tell me last night? Someone told me that. Oh, what was the case? There was like a little girl that had bubble gum in her hair on Shabbos. What are you going to do? So you cut it out. You can't cut the hair on Shabbos. So I think he said Rabbi Reisman. I'm not sure if he's talking about Rabbi Yaakov Reisman or Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, but some Rabbi Reisman said to ask a guy to cut the hair with a knife as opposed to with a scissor. And that way it's a shvus a shvus. You do Amir La'akum and Nisid Rabbanan. So they told the guy, cut the hair with a knife. And the guy's like, are you crazy? And took a scissor and cut the hair. So he said, yeah, it's exactly what we wanted the guy to do, because that's a daita dinafshe. Meaning, what I asked you to do is this in Rabbanan. But the guy's like, I'm not going to do that. That's crazy. So they cut with a scissor. And then Shalom Ali saw. So people want to order these fruit platters from non-kosher, not non-kosher, they sell fruit, but you have to be choshesh that they're cutting up dvarim charifim also, potentially, right? If on a vegetable platter there are some radishes, it's the only time I ever see radishes on a vegetable platter, they're the things that are left after all the vegetables are eaten. But you know, some old European sees a radish and says, oh, this reminds me of the Alta Haim when we didn't have delicious vegetables and this is all we could eat. You have to be choshesh that they're cutting it up with treifa knives. So I think there's room to argue that if all the place does is cuts vegetables and fruits, and they don't do anything else. That's they're not a restaurant that has other types of food. All they do is cut fruits and vegetables. So it's exactly like the Mara, the Mara of a Chatzina. They're talking about a gardener who cuts things from the garden. He's using gardening implements. So for a store that only sells fruits and vegetables, Pashtus is, they're only using knives that cut fruits and vegetables. If it's a restaurant where they're cutting meats and chicken and everything else, and you think probably they have designated knives for carving fruits, you know, for the fruit carving, that's probably what the Rama says at the end. That you probably would still need a Kedem Tila, because that's a reasonable suffix. I remember when I was in Sisim School of Business, Dr. Snow told us that he was an accounting professor. He's not here anymore, I don't think. He was a very chash of a guy, is a very chash of a guy. I remember, I think he teaches in Landers now, because I saw him in Landers once. He saw me, and someone told him, "Oh, that's Aryeh Leibowitz." And he's like, "Oh, how's your father? I taught with him in YU." That's the other Aryeh Leibowitz, but I just went with it. I'm like, "He's great." So Dr. Snow is a very chashuv guy. I used to teach in Sai Sims over here. So he said when he was in the business world, he used to send his secretary into the kitchens to bring food for him. You know, whenever he had to go to a chefer restaurant, the secretary would come and he would make her sit and stay in the kitchen and watch to make sure that the food, that nothing was tampered with and nothing. So she would report back to him that she saw regularly that they'd be cutting up pork loins or whatever with a knife hot, swing the knife under a hot stream of water and start chopping fruit. I mean, things are busy, things are crazy in the kitchen. It's not so crazy that if they're selling a lot of different types of things, that they might use the same knives for cutting dvarim charifim and for cutting treif. But if all they sell is fruits and vegetables, so then it's probably a lot like the Mara v'chatzina that you have over here. So that's what the Rama says. Now, defining a davar charif, so just to discuss again, I think we've discussed already in the past. Oh, what's this? I'm not sure if we're going to discuss this later on, but aside from that, I'm listening to Shulchan Aruch, how to determine, oh, so that's what we're about to discuss. According to this, can we buy cut fruit cups on Rockaway Turnpike? They're only selling fruit. On Rockaway Turnpike, which, in a fruit store on Rockaway Turnpike? I know, like here in the Heights, you can get a lot of some surprising fruit. No, the guy on the side of the highway. I never had a havamina to buy from the guy on the side of the highway. There is a fruit store, I don't know if it still exists, that used to say in Hebrew letters, Pei Reish Yud, Dalud Lamed Yud, Beis Reish Yud. And I was like, it's a fruit store. So I'm like, Pei Reish Yud is definitely pre, right? So it's definitely a fruit. What is a deli berry fruit? A deli berry fruit. And I realized it's free delivery. So they, whatever. I don't think that fruit store had any hashgacha. I mean, it's a fruit store. But, I don't know about the guy on the side of the highway. Probably like the end of the Rama, some guy doing his own thing on the side of the highway. You probably have to be choshesh and take a kedei netila if it's a davar charif. Otherwise, a hadacha or whatever. So what is a davar charif? What is a davar charif? So, like we said, there are two passages in the Talmud about this, about a davar charif. You have chulin and you have avodah zarah. So Tosus points out that a davar charif in one gemara is not necessarily what's a davar charif in the other gemara, right? You have two different halachas over here. You have a davar charif in terms of basar b'chalav, and you have a davar charif in terms of isir. So it could be, says Tosus, that there, and we discussed this a little bit last time, that only that which is a super duper strong davar charif, like a chiltis, that's really strong, that you have an avodah zarah, only that maybe would make even that which is eino ben yomo a ben yomo, while a tznon or an onion is a less strong davar charif, maybe would make everything tam rishon, but may not overcome eino ben yomo. And obviously that's we discussed last time, that's significant la halacha. You use a fleshig knife eino ben yomo to cut an onion. So could you eat that onion with milchik? So if you assume that all davar charif is the same, every davar charif is a davar charif, so whatever is a davar charif in avodah zarah is a davar charif in chulin and vice versa, then that's going to be a problem, because if you're the more, if everything is in the more chamer category of davar charif, then everything is going to turn neinu ben yomo into ben yomo. But if you assume that a davar charif is not going to turn neinu ben yomo into a ben yomo unless it's the strongest kind of davar charif, so it's known in an onion are not the strongest kind of a davar charif. So that's machlokes rishonim, like we mentioned last time, right? So the Beis Yosef assumes that the sheet of the Rashba is that that there are different categories of a davar charif. So there are different shittos in Rishonim as to what exactly different dvarim charifim accomplishes and what's considered a davar charif. So Rashi's first explanation is that a davar charif only overcomes the problem of tzonin b'tzonin, meaning it makes tzonin ki'ilu etzcham, but not barnat is still going to be not barnat. Then as long as the knife is clean, right? Because Rashi says only if the knife is dirty, then it's going to be considered tam rishon. So if the knife is clean, then you're not going to have a problem with tam rishon. But we assume that no, that even a clean knife is going to overpower the heter of not barnat and turn everything into tam rishon. Is every type of davar charif going to be equal and take away the idea of enu ben yomo, the heter of enu ben yomo? So the Mechaber quotes both shittos, like we saw, and the Shach says that we should be machmir. So whatever qualifies as davar charif, we are machmir. We treat it as an eno ben yomo. We treat it as a ben yomo, rather. We ignore its status as an eno ben yomo. So we seem to be pretty machmir. Poskim seems to be pretty machmir about what we consider a davar charif also. You know, certainly the examples of radish, but even like pickles and lemons, poskim or choshesh, might be a davar charif. But, you know, you always have sniff and lahakel when you're dealing with something that only might be a davar charif. So Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis over here writes, Imchat v'lshum, v'mitzalim, v'krishim, v'chayotzi behem, v'dvarim acharifim, v'peris chamutzim, that a radish is not just a radish, garlics and onions and leeks and sour fruits and salty fish, all of these things we assume have the status of a davar charif. But the Rama points out that you know, again, when we call mako, motu lechol mekachas charifim shalav yichavim, gonz nagvil chiyotzibot, yeshan kelim yichadim lekach. He's not being makil on the definition of davar charif. He's just saying, but just remember, if it's a fruit store, so it's a fruit store. So then they're only cutting fruit, so you don't have to worry about the knives. A vegetable store, they're only cutting vegetables, you don't have to worry about the knives. But he's not being makel in terms of what a davar charif is. So we broaden the category. Shulchan Aruch broadens the category beyond what the Gemara tells us in terms of what a davar charif is. As far as like halacha l'maisa, you know, there are a couple of points that need to be made that come up a lot, even though it doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch, on the page of Shulchan Aruch. One point that comes up a lot, is the point that the Chachma Sada makes, and it's not where you'd expect it. It's in Klal Nunvav Os Beis. The Chachma Sada writes the following unbelievable chumrah. Davar charif en duchka d'skina. I'm chopping an onion, right? So if I take a knife and I chop through the onion, so because of the combination of the charifas of the onion and the fact that it's hard and it takes force to cut through it, so now the tam is going to go from the knife to the onion. What about the plate that I'm chopping it on, or the countertop that I'm chopping it on, or the cutting board that I'm chopping it on? So am I going to assume that the tam is also going to go in there? Right? Do we assume? Or the tam will go from there into the onion? I'm not taking the cutting board and chopping the cutting board through the onion, but there is a dochak of the sakin through the onion onto the cutting board. So if I have a fleshika cutting board where I normally slice meat, I normally slice boiling hot, you know, dover gush, you know, meat, ki'ilu kli rishon, and now I chop an onion on that same cutting board with a parav knife. does the cutting board become flesh? So I would have said, that sounds crazy. Right? The whole idea of Ducha de Sakina is that it's the sakin that's cutting through the onion, but something that just happens to be under the onion as you're cutting. So says the Chacham Asadim Kalman Vavos Beis, if you have a plate, you cut with a knife. Of course, if the knife is fleshig, the onion becomes fleshig. Says the Chacham Asadim, knife is parev. Plate or the cutting board is fleshig, the onion becomes fleshig. And he writes, I know not everyone's thrilled with me about this. Yadati ki yesh mekilin b'zeh. Says, I know that there are people that are makel about this, but nirali to be machmir, even b'diavad. Even b'diavad. That means you took that onion that you cut on the fleshy cutting board and you put it into your French onion soup with the cheese. Right? They always have to melt the cheese on top of the French onion soup. So now the soup is treif. Why do I say the soup is treif? Maybe I should say, what do you mean? You have shishim. Because you very likely won't have shishim. We mentioned before that remembering the blade, that you only need shishim connected to the blade, not connected to the onion, is so very helpful, because the blade is so tiny. And you'll almost always have shishim in the French onion soup connected to the blade of the knife that you chop the onion with, even if you're not going to have shishim connected to the onion. Are you going to have shishim connected to the cutting board? A thick, big cutting board? You're not going to have shishim connected to the cutting board. So now you're going to need shishim connected to the onion. Right? And if you're at least connected kedei netila of the onion, but if, like the Rama said, if you diced it, connected the entire onion. So if you made a French onion soup with an onion that was cut on a fleshy cutting board, even if you remember to use a part of a knife, Chachma Sadam is going to be machmir. Meaning shishim connected the smaller of the two. So the cutting board is always going to be the big, just like I said before, the blade is always going to be the smaller of the two, between the onion and the blade, almost always. The cutting board is always going to be the bigger of the two. So you're not going to end up needing shishim connected the cutting board, because you need shishim connected the onion. But you don't have that kula that we had before, that you could go back and just say, I only need shishim connected the blade. You actually have to look at the onion. So, yeah. So Pashtus is yes, that even the Seinu Binyamu, because we're machmer in a Binyamu. And even b'diavad, because you already cooked it. It's quite a chumrah. I thought we're not machmer like this. I thought that we're not knowing to be machmer like this, especially if there's any other tzad lahakel. Rabbi Reisman said Rav Pam was always machmer like this. La'alacha, this is the Chachmas Adam. Im az nichmo, so Chachmas Adam we take seriously. To always be machmer like this. I think Rav Shechter was not so machmir like this.
What's the status of the knife?
Part knife. Oh, okay. We'll get there in a second. So the Chacham Sadim doesn't discuss the status of the knife, right? If you cut an onion on a fleshy cutting board, what happens to the knife? So this comes along with Chavis Das. Chavis Das in Sivchat and Vav discusses, comes up all the time. You take, let's say, a milchig onion and you put it in a fleshig food processor. Because meaning, now what happened? Your onion became fleshig because you were cutting, according to the Chacham Sadim, because you were cutting on a fleshig cutting board. And then you chop the onion with another knife. Right? Or it happens simultaneously. You're chopping it with a parav knife. But the more common, people don't even think to ask that, Shaila, but more commonly, I cut an onion with a fleshig knife. I just cut it into two or three pieces. Then I threw it in the food processor, my fleshig onion in the food processor, and the blades of the food processor started cutting it. So the Chavis Das discusses this shaila. You take a milchig onion, let's say, and you put it in a fleshig food processor. So what's the status of the food processor? So in Hilchos Pesach, the Magen Avraham, in Siman Tafnun Aleph, he's discussing Basar B'chalav over there. He's machmir that the food processor becomes treif. If the food processor was milchig beforehand, and you took a fleshig onion and put it in the food processor, that's going to become treif. The Avin Ozer argues with the Magen Avraham, and over there the Chavis Das says that the Avin Ozer shita is correct. And he says, when do we say that a davar charif is mashbiach l'tam? That's only in a davar charif itself. But once it goes from that onion to the next knife or to the food processor, the bliya in the blade is an old bliya, and you're not going to answer it. Meaning, let's assume you're dealing with an Einu Ben Yomo knife that you cut, right? That you cut the onion with. So we say, oh, the onion turns the Einu Ben Yomo into Ben Yomo. An Einu Ben Yomo, according to the Chacham Sadam, Einu Ben Yomo cutting board. Oh, it's going to turn it into a Ben Yomo. While it's in the onion, it's a Ben Yomo. As soon as it goes into another kli, it goes back to being an Einu Ben Yomo. And therefore, it's not going to trafe up. So, that's the Evan Ozer. Furthermore, the Chavis Das points out, the bliya is not going to go from an ochel to a kli without rotav, and if it's a dry kind of a thing, so it's not going to be a problem. Unless it's a davar shamin. So I think most poskim assume, like the Evan Ozer, Lukula over here. The Marsham writes that way in Das Torah. Chavis Das is certainly make it that way. So that it's a kula that the attributes of a davar charif are only true while in the davar charif, but not when they go into the next kli. So let's go back to what Jed actually asked about, right? Not about the fruit processor. What does it mean? You cut an onion with a milchig knife on a fleshig cutting board. The onion becomes fleshig. Neither the knife nor the cutting board become treif. Milchig knife, fleshig cutting board, onion, right? So the onion becomes, milchig knife, fleshig cutting board, then becomes treif, right, in such a case. But neither the knife nor the cutting board become treif. Because the tam of flesh, what did I say, milchig knife, fleshig cutting board? The tam of the flesh from the cutting board can't be a tam l'shvach into the knife. Because when it goes back into the knife, it becomes an einu ben yomo again. The time of the milchik from the knife can't be a tam l'shvach into the cutting board, so they both remain kosher. The onion, you have a trefa onion and a kosher knife and a kosher cutting board. Try to explain that one. Right. Wait, I just cut an onion that you're telling me is treif, and the knife with which I cut that onion is kosher. Nachon. Chacham Hasadim himself would be machmir about the knife and the board because he passes like the Magen Avraham, not like the Evan Ozer. meaning we passing like the Evan Ozer, right? I mean, you all poskim that I know of passing like the Evan Ozer, that it becomes an Einu Ben Yomo tam again when it goes back into a kli. Chacham Hasadim ba'atzmo paskins like the Magen Avraham that it remains a Ben Yomo tam, and therefore he's going to be machmir in that case. There's still more to do over here. Bez Hashem, tomorrow, Mistama, I'm not 100% sure, Mistama will finish up Simin Sadivav tomorrow. Okay? Everyone have a great day. Any more questions?